Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Series called Counterculture, and I'm warning you, I may offend you today. I just might offend you, okay? And if I do, I want you to push through it because God is speaking, and there's truth that he wants you to hear. We live in a world that gets offended by hearing the truth, but the thing is, the truth is what sets us free. When we hear the truth, and especially the truth from God's word, and that's this whole thing, being countercultural. We live in a world today where the truth of the world is on blast. Every time we turn around, we hear what the world thinks. But we need to stop and we need to say, God, what do you think? And I guarantee you, the way that God calls us to live is completely different than how our culture is living right now. So whose voice are you listening to? And we're in this series called Counterculture. Men, especially in the world we live in today, men are, I think the world is trying to literally push down the role that men have in society. They're trying to delegitimize men. And I want to tell you that without men, our society doesn't work. Without godly men, without dads, without fathers, without people who are following. And you can see that all around as brokenness rises, as men are diminished. Look at what's happening in our society. There's more anxiety. There's more fear. There's more worry. The farther we get away from God, like even in young kids, did you know the largest amount of people committing suicide is 8 to 12 years old today? And so if this worked, we'd see it work in society. The ideas and the truth that society is living by today, it does not work. That's why you see our society is falling apart. We need men who will stand up and be godly men. The way our culture defines men and tries to minimize the importance of men is completely different than how God defines a man and how God says, listen, the role of a man and a woman are so important. When men are absent, our culture crumbles, and that's exactly what's happening because men have been put on the sidelines. When men are present and they love God, our culture thrives. So the more our culture minimizes men and the importance of men, we see that crumbling, and we see it all around us right now. So men, thank you for showing up. Thank you. I honor you. I thank you for the work that you do for your family. Listen, sometimes we don't feel like we measure up, and I want to tell you something. When you plug into God, he's going to help you to be the man that God's called you to be. Last week, Pastor Paula did a great job talking us through what it looks like in the middle of a storm. And you see, we're in the book of Matthew chapter 10, and this was Jesus talking to the disciples and saying, listen, like I'm calling you to be different than the culture around you. The things that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, they were hard truths. They're written in red, so that means it's his words. And even today, the words that we're going to hear are Jesus' words to us. You can't minimize that. And last week, we talked about what happens when we're in the middle of a storm. What happens, well, how do we walk it and make it through these storms? And I love what Pastor Paula said. We're always in one of three spots in our lives. We're either cleaning up from a storm, we're going into a storm, or we're in the middle of the storm. And the question is not when the storm's going to come. It's what are you attached to? Where are you attached? Are you attached on the rock? Are you attached on God's rock so that when the storms come, we don't fall apart in faith, we don't fall apart in fear, we rise up in faith. And I think it's so countercultural, even that. You don't have to fall apart when a storm comes your way, because if you're attached to what God has called you to do and what God's ways are, I promise you, you will weather any storm that comes your way. And that's what Jesus said. Because as the disciples and the apostles were being ready to be sent out, Jesus said there are going to be storms that come. There is going to be opposition. There are going to be challenging times. And I would say that to you today, as believers, as Christ followers, there will be storms. There will be challenging times. But who you put your foundation in is what keeps you in those moments. Today, I want to ask you a question, and this is going to wrap. We're going to dig into this, and this is where it gets challenging. Who is number one in your life? Who's number one in your life? That's where we're at in the scripture, where Jesus starts to talk about who is number one in your life. How you know is who gets your attention, who gets your time, who gets your resources, who gets the best of you. Are you number one? And I think in our society today, there's a lot of people who put self over God. They're number one, and Jesus comes second. They're number one, and Jesus comes second. Are you number one in your life? Is your family number one? Do you put your family over Jesus? Is your career number one? You can always see who's number one in a person's life by looking at their calendar, by looking at their bank account, by looking at their checkbook, because what they love is what they're going to put their effort into. It's a question that every one of us has to ask on a continual basis. Who is number one in my life? Who should be number one? Number one in your life should be Jesus. That's it, number one. That has to be our main focus. When Jesus is number one, you're living a life that models after his priorities. Everything else should come after Jesus. Keeping him top priority is key to following Jesus the way he calls us to follow him. And Jesus basically said, who is number one in your life? And today in our world, self, like people put their self as number one. Their beliefs trump God's beliefs. They're going to tell you that what they believe, even over the Bible, is more important than what the Bible says. And that is putting self number one. We live in a world right now that in this month, they're celebrating pride. What does the Bible say? The Bible says pride comes before a what? Fall. It's a messed up world that we're living in. And I want to tell you something. You can so quickly get off track by the voices you're listening to and put other things number one in your life, and you miss out on what Jesus wants to do in your life. That is what Jesus was saying in the scripture we're going to read today. Who is number one in your life? Because what is number one is what everything else is going to flow out of. And I want to tell you, the world's way of life is going to bring destruction. It may not be now, it may not be next week, it may not be 2 weeks from now, but I want to tell you, when you follow the world's way of thinking and their way of operating, and you put number one as, you put yourself in number one, you miss out on what God wants to do. Everything flows out of Jesus being number one in your life. Your attention, your time, your talent, your resources. It all gets focused on making Jesus number one. What he says is number one in your life. His priorities are your priorities. And it's a question we have to ask all the time. We have to be looking at our life and saying, God, who is number one in my life? Is it me? Am I trying to live above what you say? As a Christ follower, we have to prioritize Jesus first. And the way it goes is Jesus first, spouse, family, church, and then your career. That's the way that in our prioritizing, that's the way we got to do it. Everything else comes after that. If your priorities are not lined up in that order, life doesn't work. You're never going to follow Jesus the way he's called us to follow him. And listen, if he is not number one in your life, everything changes. Your priorities. And I want to tell you, that alone is countercultural, because we're living in a society that says, live for yourself. Truth, your truth, if that's your truth, then that must be the truth. We're living in a society that is totally upside down, and it's bringing destruction. It's bringing destruction. We've got to put Jesus as number one in our life. Our culture tells us we should put ourselves first. It doesn't work. You can look around and see that today. Listen, when Jesus is number one in your life, it's completely life-changing. It's the point where you will see him do incredible things. We've got to constantly evaluate, like, Lord, who is number one in my life? The culture of this world can slip into our thinking and our ways, and we have to be on guard. We have to be on guard. And listen, when truth comes today, we get offended rather than allowing that truth to change us. And I want to challenge you, let the truth change you. Let Jesus' truth, and it was offensive back then, and it's offensive now. Because Jesus says, listen, if you will live my way, it'll change everything. It'll change your priorities. It'll change where you're headed. And that's what Jesus was saying in Matthew 10, 32 through 37. And this was serious. It was revolutionary when Jesus said this. When we see Jesus, he finished up his final instructions to the disciples as he was sending them off. And that's what chapter 10 is. Jesus said, be prepared for a difficult time. Be prepared that you're going to go into the world and you're going to be hated. You're going to be betrayed. You're going to face storms. Your own families could turn on you. Be ready. Jesus prepared them for what they were going to face. None of it was supposed to be a surprise. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you are living countercultural according to Jesus' way and he's number one in your life, don't be surprised when you're going to get people from the world giving you a hard time. Don't be surprised when difficult challenges will come. Don't be surprised when you're in the middle of a storm. Jesus was saying, don't be surprised. And be willing to walk through these moments and keep Jesus number one. The key to overcoming all of this is keeping him number one, keeping your eyes on him. Let's read Matthew 10, 32 through 37. We're going to read it together. And I want you to know this is some of the strongest scripture that Jesus lays out for us. Here it is. Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Don't imagine that I came to bring peace to the earth. I came to not bring peace, but a sword. I've come to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies will be right in your own household. If you love your father or mother more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. Strong, heavy scripture. What does it mean? We're going to dig in. I want to make this very clear, and I want to lay this out today. Anything that has priority over Jesus in your life is an idol. America, you might say, man, we don't have the big giant idols, but we have idols in our life. It can become our career, it become our family. What Jesus was saying is there are no idols. Don't let idols become priority in your life. And our family can become that. Our career can become that. Anything that's more important to Jesus, if you are worshiping anything more than Jesus, it becomes an idol. And you might go, well, okay, what does that look like? Listen, what you devote your time, your attention, your energy to, what you love can become an idol in your life. What does the Bible say? It says, there shall be no other gods before me. No other gods before me. And we've got to look at this and we have to say, God, are there idols in my life? And what you spend your time worshiping becomes an idol. That could be your career. It could be your family. I mean, that's what Jesus was saying. God was very clear in the Ten Commandments. I want to share with you three key points today that Scripture really tells us. This Scripture tells us, and break this down a little bit and see what Jesus was talking about. Point number one, no undercover Christians. No undercover Christians. That means when you walk out of here today, you're going to be on fire. You're going to be as on point, making Jesus the number one of your life Monday through Friday. Stepping out of here and saying, Jesus, you are number one in my life when I walk out the four walls of this church, not just while I'm here. That means acknowledging him. That means saying, man, I'm going to go into public. Listen, Jesus said it, Matthew 10, 32 through 33. Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, what does acknowledging him mean? It means taking your life and living for him. That, not just talking about it, but actually doing it. Not just saying you're a Christian, but acknowledging him means that you're living as a Christian. You're living as a Christ follower. Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Those are strong words. And Jesus is saying, acknowledge me by how you live your life. And listen, I love this. This is what I love, is that we show it more than we tell it. People can look at my life and go, man, there's something different about you. That's how we acknowledge Jesus in public. Jesus very clearly calls us to acknowledge him. And how do we do it? First of all, make Jesus number one priority in your life. You can't hide that you're a Christian when you walk into public. We're called to acknowledge in public everywhere we go. Where we say, yes, I am a Christ follower, and here's why. Here's my testimony. Here's my story. We also acknowledge Jesus publicly by how we live our lives. Being a Jesus follower should change how you live every area of your life. People around you should be able to tell that you've changed and that you're living for Jesus and it's a top priority in your life. That literally he has changed you. No undercover Christians. We're called to not only talk about being a Jesus follower, but we're called to live on our lives that shows a way that we follow. Listen, the world has no problem about being loud about what they believe. They'll tell you every time you turn around, why is it that we as Christ followers won't stand up and say what we believe? Don't be afraid to show and share Jesus everywhere you go. Don't be afraid to integrate your faith and into your beliefs. Some of you are going to walk into your job site tomorrow morning, and God has called you there for a specific purpose. So be the light. Let people know who you serve and who you follow. We're talking about actually knowing what you believe and what it looks like to be a Christ follower and then living it out. That's making Jesus number one priority in your life. Jesus went on and said, but everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny them before my Father in heaven. A strong statement. Listen to it from the Message. I love this. Stand up for me against world opinion, and I'll stand up for you before my Father in heaven. If you turn tail and run, do you think that I'll cover for you? Strong message. Where Jesus is saying, listen, stand up. And listen, it's not our job to tell everybody else how they're living wrong. It's just our job to live for Jesus. It's our job to be the light, to shine, to stand up and say, this is what I believe. We're called to stand up for him against the world's opinions. And that means watching what we believe, watching what we put our trust in, watching who's number one in your life. There's no such thing as being an undercover Christian. Jesus is either number one priority in your life or he's not. Point number two, we have to understand why Jesus came. We read in this scripture why he came. It's important to understand why he came. Matthew 10:34, don't imagine that I came to bring peace to the earth. And this was talking to the Jewish people at this point who thought that Jesus had come to set them free. And what he was doing, Jesus came to bring the gospel to the world, not just to get the Jewish people out of slavery. Jesus was saying, I came to not bring peace, but a sword. I've come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies will be right in your own household. The Message says this. It says, don't think I've come to make life cozy. I've come to cut. Make a sharp knife cut between son and father, daughter and mother, bride and mother-in-law. Cut through these cozy domestic arrangements and free you to God. Heavy, right? So what was Jesus saying? He was saying, whatever is holding you back from giving 100%, cut it. Even if that means it's people in your family. Even if it means you've come along and you've told your family, I'm living for God 100%, and they do everything they can to try to turn you around and walk you away from what God's called you to do. That's the time where Jesus says, hey, I've come to cut like a sharp knife. Jesus did not come to make us cozy. And it's a great reminder. Jesus came to push you out of your comfort zone and not let anyone stop you. And if that means that you have to cut relationship with the people that are closest to you to make Jesus number one in your life, Jesus said, do it. That's why I'm telling you, what is your priority? Is it if it's Jesus first, everything else comes after? Would have been mind-blowing for the Jewish people, just like it's mind-blowing to us. They got pushback with this kind of theology and this kind of thought. And Jesus makes a strong statement. He said, I came to not bring peace, but a sword. And see, what we're used to doing is peace at any cost. We won't stand up for what we believe because we want to keep the peace. Well, what if we started to say, hey, no, this is what I believe. And in love, I'm going to tell you what I believe because that's what Jesus said. Truth will set you free. How about we take that moment where we say, listen, I'm not just going to do whatever it takes to keep the peace. You're going to know what I believe. You're also going to know I love you, and I'm going to tell you the truth. Listen, I'm thankful for people in my life who will tell me the truth. People don't love you unless they'll tell you the truth. People that allow you to move in a path of destruction and they know it's coming your way, that's not love. You need people who are going to tell you the truth in love. That's what Jesus was saying. Listen, I'm coming to tell you the truth in love. I'm coming to cut relationships out of your life that keeps you from going 100% for Jesus. So if Jesus is trying to cut some of those relationships out of your life, stop fighting him. Let him do it. Because I promise you, he's got more for you than what they have. He made a strong statement. Why are we so surprised then when Jesus cuts even our closest people out of our life to say, listen, I have more for you. I have a better relationship for you. If your family's holding you back from going in with God, don't be surprised when Jesus comes along and cuts that person out of your life. You can't love your family more than you love Jesus. You can't love your children more than you love Jesus. Your children and your family can't take more of a priority than Jesus. And we also live in a country today where our country puts children even before Jesus in our lives. And I'm telling you, it has to be Jesus first, spouse second, family third. That's how this plays out. That's what Jesus was saying. And I promise you, when Jesus is number one, you're going to love your family better. You are going to be the mom and the dad that God's called you to be. If this gets out of whack, that's why so many families, I think, are in crisis. Listen, Jesus said, your enemies will be right in your own household. Don't be surprised when people that are closest to you all of a sudden turn. That's what Jesus was saying. When you do what I've called you to do, You have to stand for Jesus even when it means that the possibility of your own family will become enemies. Hello. I mean, this is strong. And we don't like to talk about this in our culture because everybody just wants to have kumbaya and have love sessions, but it does not work if Jesus is not the priority and number one in your family. Are you with me? It's quiet, isn't it? I didn't write this stuff, so you can't get mad at me. Thank you. Right here, my buddy. Point number three. Question, who or what do you love the most in your life? Really think about it. Because our first answer is, oh, Jesus. But really? Oh, Jesus is number one in my life. But if everything else comes priority before him, you got to stop and say, maybe he's not priority in my life. And maybe I need to make him that priority. Matthew 10:37, if you love your father or mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. What Jesus is saying is anything you love more than me, it's out of whack. He lays it out clearly. If you love anything more than you love him, you are missing the mark. He took a strong line. Why? Because what you love is what you're going to put your time, your energy, and your focus into. What you love will determine how you live your life. That's why he has to be number one, because if you love Jesus, it will determine how you love and you move forward. Your family can't come before Jesus. He has to come first. Your children can't come before Jesus. He has to come first. I'm all about loving our kids well. I'm all about, but that can't come before Jesus in your life. If kids come before Jesus, it will hurt their spiritual life and show them the wrong example. He has to be number one in our lives. If you do one thing right as a parent, is show them that Jesus is number one in your life. If everything else comes before Jesus in your life, that's what you will model to your children, and chances are down the road, Jesus won't be a priority in their life either. I'm telling you right now, we're living in a world where our kids need to see that Jesus is number one priority. The world's voice right now is louder than some of your voices. And I think we have to turn that around. And we have to say, listen, I'm going to show my kids that Jesus is number one priority in my life. Earlier in the message, I said it, Jesus first, then our spouse, next our family, church, and then career. That has to be our priorities. And priorities can get out of whack. I'm reminded of the old hymn. If you've been around the church world, there's a hymn that says, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. That's why every day in the morning, I think you put your feet on the ground and you say, okay, what have I put before you, Jesus? Show me, are you number one in my life? The bottom line is this, as Christ followers, we must love Jesus more than anything else we love in this world. Everything else comes after Jesus. That, my friend, is countercultural. Because the world would tell you, put Jesus last and everything else comes before that. It goes completely against our culture. And here, my friends, this is what I want to tell you. All of this, it's strong language, but because Jesus loves us. He loves, this all starts out of his love for us. This is all based on his love to say, listen, I love you enough to tell you the truth. In our culture right now, it's, I'm going to hold the truth from you because I think that might be love. It's not that. Love is, I'm going to tell you the truth. And there is truth. In the world we live in, people will say, oh, there's no truth. Truth is whatever you think. Listen, our feelings and our thoughts are not by nature, godly thoughts. So if you live by your emotions or you live by your own thoughts and you put those above what God says, and that becomes the God that you serve, I promise you, you're headed in the wrong direction. This love, though, that Jesus comes along and says, listen, I'm going to tell you the truth, and I love you. Friends, if you don't catch that this is Jesus's love, you miss out on the whole thing. Because everything, he always comes to you with love. He never comes to point things out to bring guilt and shame to you. He comes and he says, I love you enough to tell you the truth so that we can bring healing, that we can bring wholeness to your life. And I promise you, as you put Jesus number one in your life, everything else will work out. Listen to me. Everything else will work out if you will put him number one. You can't work any harder than you're already working right now. You can't be the perfect dad that you want to be unless he's number one in your life. Make him number one and everything else falls into line. Put him first and everything else will fall into line. I promise you, you can take it to the bank. Everything else will come into line when you put him first. The Bible says that if you love him, you'll follow his commands. And isn't it interesting? The world is trying to minimize, oh, the Bible's old-fashioned. It doesn't know what it's talking about. You know, but I'm telling you right now, if you will follow his commands, if you'll follow what Scripture says, you will see victory. You will see freedom. You'll see your kids loving the Lord. You'll see everything come into line. I promise you. Put him first. The more you love Jesus, the better you're going to love everyone else around you. When you put him first, that's the answer. My challenge to you is ask that question regularly. Who is number one in my life? Who's number one? Let him speak to you. Because listen, it's a partnership. Never meant to bring guilt and shame, but to bring wholeness. Where he'll come and he'll speak to you. And he'll speak to you in a heart, in such a loving way to go, listen, maybe some priorities have got out of whack. So taking these moments to say, God, show me. Let me know where my priorities are out of whack. Our priorities can get out of whack. You know it. Like as things get busy or things, we run into a storm. Our priorities can get out of whack. And I love that, the fact that God loves us enough to bring us back in. And say, listen, it's a little bit out of whack, so we're going to pull it back in. And we do that by just letting the Lord evaluate our hearts. So,
thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.